sing it once again unto him now. Sing, I want to live the way he wants me to live.
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to
unto him now.
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. To love.
Sing this, learning to lean. Sing it unto him now.
Experiences you have in life of things, that's what you have to end up doing. I can't control everything. I can't change everybody's hearts. I just have to lean on Jesus to do that. Amen. It goes for your children. It goes for your family. It goes for your friends. You just lean on him. He's the one that does the work, and he does it right. We do it bad. We do it mediocre. He does it good because he's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sister Esther, I think you have a special. Or am I calling the wrong person? Yes, praise him.
harder than you think that it would be. There are days of sorrow that seem so heavy laden, but there is joy wherever he may lead. So carry on, we will carry on, though the harvest now is full of green. The day shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, even when our strength is almost gone. Holding to the promise, God knows what we are facing, and he will turn our sorrow into song. So carry on, we will carry on, though the harvest now is full of grief. The day will come, he promised you and me, that we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. So carry on, we will carry on, shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Hey, man, that was wonderful. Appreciate that. Sister Rachel, Sister Monica, Sister Esther. Amen. Amen. We won't come in empty-handed. Amen. We will come in reaping the benefits, reaping what we've sown. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hey, Jonas, you want to come help us take up the offering, please?
I thank for this day, and I thank for all you've done for us. Forgive for our sins and iniquities, God. And bless the tithes and offering, and help us to learn more about you today, God. And I pray for our pastor, Brother Dale, that you'll heal him. And I pray that you'll help us have a good day today and hear more about you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonas. Stand to our feet and let's... I'm going to have Brother Wade come out. But let's sing this song first, The Lifeboat. And with this one, he can come out after we've sung the last verse.
We're floating down the stream of time. We have not long to stay. The stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let us all take courage, for we're not left alone. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather his jewels home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all in vain to try to live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then we hear the Master say, I'll lend you a helping hand. And if you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather his jewels home. The lifeboat soon is coming. By eyes of faith I see, as she sweeps through the waters to rescue you and me and land us safely in the port with friends we love so dear. Get ready, cries the captain. Oh, look, she's almost here. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather his jewels home. My last verse. Oh, now's the time to get on board while she is passing by. But if you stand and wait too long, you shall forever die. The fare is paid for one and all. The captain bids you come and get on board the lifeboat. She'll carry you safely home. Hallelujah.
then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather his jewels home.
Amen. We're looking for that day, aren't we? And that lifeboat comes by and picks us up. But like the song says, you better be ready to get on it. Better be at the right place at the right time. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back here in service. I enjoyed this morning. I enjoy reading about church ages and seeing what happened to those people back in the... you know, they had lives just like we did. Like I said before, they got up and went to work. There were Mondays back then, too. I think that started in the garden. But, amen. So that's why I said I hope the rapture takes place Monday morning. Just jerks us right out of here and we don't have to go to work on Monday. Be just tear the devil up. Because he sure has been loving Mondays for all my life. He's loved Mondays. So get us out of here, Lord. All right, let's remember Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Next Saturday, 4 o'clock, pictures. Brother Dutch Scott will be with us. We'll have a meal. We're going to have something a little different. We're going to have New York strip and some chicken breast and baked potato and salad. So just come eat your heart out. Make sure you tell each and every one that's involved how much you appreciate it, because it takes a lot to put this thing together. Sister Lisa and Sister Rachel and different ones that helped. And then that next Sunday, this coming Sunday week, Brother David Gadman will be here for the 18th. It'll just be one service. And it'll be a regular, normal service. We'll have Sunday school and everything else, too. So just keep that in prayer. Also, February 25th, like I announced this morning, Brother John Durrett, the second service, will be doing a Dave Ramsey financial peace class and weaving it into our Christian life, to be good stewards. And, you know, the Bible says, owe no man, no one, and all those different things. But God's a chill forgiver, and he wants us to be the same way. But you can't give if you don't have it. So also, I didn't say this morning, but that's going to be every other month starting February 25th. It won't be in March. It'll be in April. Brother John will speak one Sunday afternoon. All right. But in between that, on March the 10th, that's why Brother Joe wants the song leaders and musicians to get together next Sunday, because on March the 10th, the second Sunday in March, we're going to have the second service. I'm going to be speaking just for a few moments to explain about worship and about what we, the way we're set up as a church to worship, not just this church, but church worship. And then after that, he'll get with you this coming weekend, next weekend. All musicians and all song leaders, not an option, all right, unless you got something to do. But from then forward, the next week, the next time we have it, it will be a 2 o'clock. The song leaders, if you have two or three songs you want to work on, you'll get up here with the song leaders, and it won't be a service. You can leave if you want to. You don't have to come to church. But we'll have a singing and a worship service, and we'll be practicing our songs. Some of the musicians have come to me wanting to get together so we can get everything in harmony, get the right chords, get the right music, get the right and you say, well, it don't matter, just get up here and play. No, if you play for the Lord, you need to play in the right key. So the song leaders and musicians, nobody else, you don't have to be here, but song leaders and musicians, you need to be here at least March the 10th, and then Brother Joe will, next weekend, and Brother Joe will talk to you about, then we'll start March the 10th, and then that afternoon, we will have it'll just be open. If you want to coordinate with Brother Joe. If you want to learn a new special, I know we all need to learn new songs. We all need to learn new songs. I'm not saying the same ones over and over. That's okay, but let's learn some new songs. Let's get into a mode of worship. As Brother Joe said, you know, and now that we've let it out, let's show it. Let's show God that we can worship. And because God's in worship. Word comes first, but we do. And the reason I'm doing this is because most churches do this if you're a community church. Because like Pine Grove, I mean, they'll go over there 5 minutes. All of them live 5 minutes from church. Well, they'll all go over there one Sunday, Saturday afternoon. But see, some of you live, there's not a one of you lives within 5 minutes of here, I don't think. I think we're probably the closest ones at 8 to 10 miles, right? Most of y'all live at other places, like you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, hour and something away. And you can't just call everybody and say, hey, get up here Saturday, and we're going to practice just a small length of time. Then you got to go back home and then come back on Sunday morning. So what we'll do is, on Sunday afternoon, we will just do that once every other month. The month that Brother John is not doing it, we'll have another Sunday afternoon of worship and play. Bring your instruments, play. If you have a new instrument and anybody got something to add to it, please let us know. We'll try to make space for you. Everybody understand that? So next Sunday afternoon, after the first service, all musicians and all song leaders that are here, meet with Brother Joe Canada because he's going to head it all up. And then March the 10th will be our first time of having a time of worship and learning new songs and learning the keys and learning the new. If you want to learn something new, I may bring my bass guitar. You never know. But we'll see. Y'all don't all follow our life at the same time. So let's turn the Bible to Revelation 1 verse 10. And I wish we were a community church where you could all be right here together and you wouldn't have to. Yeah, I know some of you, and it's hard on some of you that drive hours. How long you drive? Hour and 15 minutes? Hour and 30 minutes? So when we're still sipping on our coffee, you know, us that live 8 miles away, Brother Michael's harnessing the horse up, and they're heading up here. And same way with a lot of you. Your Brother Bob and him is 45 minutes away. So what I'm saying is I appreciate y'all driving. Brother Gary Krantz, different ones. Appreciate y'all coming that length of time to be in church service. We sure do appreciate that. And we want to be mindful of that when we do decide to do something special. It's maybe try to do it while we're all here. So we appreciate the Lord having given us a church to go to anyway. So we sure appreciate that. More than anything, and give us the song leaders that we have and the musicians that we have. I mean, man, they're good, top notch. So just keep that in your heart and mind, and we will start that next month. Revelation 1 verse 10. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening you've given us, Father. I pray that you'd be with us now as we speak about you for a few moments, Lord, that you'll open our eyes and give us eye salve of the Holy Ghost and give us ears to hear, Lord, what the Spirit says today to the churches. Father, forgive us of our sins and many mistakes. Heal the sick. Be with the foreign brothers, Lord, that are taking the gospel to different places, Lord. I pray this should be with them, Father. And bless the ones that can't come here, Lord, that's watching online. I pray this should give them a special anointing today, Father. Just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book. Now, he told John, take this and write it in a book and send it to these churches. John didn't keep it. He wrote it and sent it to them. All right? Because it says to the church in Ephesus, it tells them what to do and what you've, the salutation and the rebuke. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, which is Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now remember, none of these are in Israel. Right. These are not Jewish cities. Right. These are Gentile cities. Yeah. So it was a Gentile bride that God come after. So he put those cities over there in Asia and made them a Gentile, made Gentile cities out of them. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and behold, turning, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle. You may be seated. Lord, add his blessing. Now, who was that? That was the Son of Man. But what form was he in? He was taking. Now, he had his form so many days, 50 days before Pentecost. He had had a form of flesh. He was in a glorified body. He was walking around on the earth. He could still eat fish and all that. And he had substance. He was in a glorified condition. But he hung around for a certain length of time. And then he said, I must go away. In other words, so that I can come back. But what does he come back? He doesn't come back as himself in flesh. He comes back in your flesh and my flesh, Paul's flesh, Peter, all the different ones. That's the flesh that he wanted to inhabit to do what? To get the gospel and forward it to the people. All right? So he stands in the midst or the middle of all this. He's right among us. He's got both hands open. He's got stars and he's got the messengers and the stars. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to start it, like we were saying this morning, and he knows how to end it. Brother Aaron, it might be that needs to be off of heat and put on a little bit of air conditioning because it's hot. And I'm that much higher than y'all are, and it gets a little worse up here, but I know some of y'all are fanning. Please keep fanning. Maybe keep you from falling asleep. The seven church ages is a complete. Take a bowling ball, hold it. The seven church ages is a complete and final revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, bro, wait, that's final. It is a final revelation of Jesus Christ to the Gentile bride. There is no other revelation. There is no other church age. There is no other denomination. There is no other anything that's going to come to a Gentile church except the bride. Amen. And when he leaves, through us, he leaves, we're all in a wedding supper, and he goes and presents himself to the Jews. No other Gentile is going to be saved. Not one. All right? So we're at the end. We're at the part right now to where we're at the finality of it all. There is no other church age. There is no other day. We're it. That's why it's important. As Bob said this morning, it's important to be fervent about what we're doing, especially now we're getting toward the end. John 1:14 says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We've been reading it forever. Well, he wants to be in your flesh. Because this new dispensation was, it was animal flesh that was sacrificed, and it didn't do away with your sin. Now Christ has come by a new and living way. Christ came, gave his own life, so that he could come back inside the believer and make you him in another form called a bride. Amen. Everybody with me? All right, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Sister Christine, we were talking last Sunday, we were talking about the veil being rent. Do you know that veil was 4 inches thick? The veil that covered that mercy seat was 4 inches thick. And it was some, I don't know, astronomical 20-something feet high. But it was rent from top to bottom. That way they knew no man had went in there and ripped it from the bottom to the top. It had to be God that rent it from the top, and he just pulled it apart. Why? Because as Brother Brown said, if he would have turned and looked out the window of the temple, they'd have seen the mercy seat sitting, hanging on a cross. Yeah. All right, so he moved from that. A new testament or a new covenant was which was in his blood. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? God's whole intent and purpose is to live in you and make you holy. Make you holy. Make you him. Make you able to defeat the devil. Listen to me. Without him standing right here with us. Oh, that'd be easy. You got God standing beside of you in a glorified body. He couldn't even save you. He could not. He's got to be inside of you. So the only way he could do that was go away, leave the body there as a sacrifice, that as an advocate, that God can see that and see the blood, and sends the Spirit back down here so that he can go out in each one of us and live through each one of us. That's pretty simple, but it's very profound how God did that. And you know what? He's perfect. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. I wanted to start off with the message. God's perfect. He don't make no mistakes. Whatever he does, every move he makes, he never has to say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. No, so everything he set up is exactly the way. That's why he thought so much of that alpha bride to set everything up in that first church age. Everything. Right. The mode of worship. Paul comes in and tells us what deacons are, what elders are, what pastors are, what this is. He sets it up in the first age. Then it gets so convoluted down through, and now when we get back to the Nicolaitan part of it, somebody asked a question, and I'll explain a little more about that. But what happens is the power got took away from the people in this middle part of the ages. All right? So now what Brother Branham comes, he comes here and he tells the people, he said, hey, it's not a hierarchy here. I was just reading just a few minutes ago in the Hebrew series. Brother Branham said, if you as a church vote to preach Jehovah Witness doctrine, he said, we must either preach it or vote us out. You, not a deacon, not a bishop, not even the pastor. Your vote. So see, you put it all back into the laity where the laity has the power of a vote. And you know what Brother Ram said? He said, now if it's 51 to 50, he said, that 51 wins. He said, what are you that lost going to do about it? He said, if you got the Holy Ghost, Hebrew series, 1957, I believe it is. He says, you that lost, get with the ones that won, and let's get out of here. In other words, be no, well, I voted against, and I just, you need to leave. Brother Brown, they asked him one time, said we got a deacon, you got a deacon in your church that doesn't believe like you believe. He said, we ought to get rid of him. Schism in the body. Don't work. For this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Not one of them got the inheritance of the promise of eternal life in the Old Testament. Not one. Right. Not here anyway. We got a promise of eternal inheritance right here where you're sitting today. Well, where a testament is, there must be a necessary, the testator's got to die. In other words, he's got to die to give the force to this, his will. All right, everybody with me? I'm going to fly through some of this because we know that a body was prepared over there, and then that body left, and now he's in a body of believers. His corporal body is not here. It won't be here until the millennium, all right? We come back with him. Is everybody all right with that? We know that. So where is his body now? He has a bride body, and everybody's got a part to play. That's why you got to take it out and quit conquering the laity. You got to have the laity have the power, and then God can flow through everybody then, not just a set of hierarchy, because that's what happened in the first part of the church ages. They said, oh, the people don't need to understand this. We've got it in Latin. We'll just believe on this guy. Let this guy, well, you know, Sister Anna, you can't understand a word they say when you go to church at a Catholic church. But you depend on who? The guy reading it. Yeah. And you don't understand nothing. See, that took a power away from the laity. That's conquering the laity. So they go, oh, well, okay. No, the power's in the people. The power's in the church. So let's continue on. I'm going to try to get to something, so I'm going to try to get through some of this. Now, we know and understand that each age has its messenger and its message. So God is a dispensationalist. God does have dispensations, all right? Everybody with me. We are not in the Lutheran dispensation. If we were, then it'd be wrong timing. Because we're in the end. This is time over here that we're in the end. We're not in the Luther age. Luther won't even get you in the body now. Not Luther the person. The Lutheran doctrine. Everybody with me? Because you see, this is the way I approach everything, is the Holy Ghost is the same in every age. We know that. But there's degrees that man has either put their hand over, or hierarchies try to keep it away from people. But if Luther was to come in today, and not just sit here because of me, sit here and listen to message believers preach, he'd be like, wow, that ain't nothing but the truth. Man, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Baptize me again. Amen. Amen. Baptize me in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't see that. Oh, hallelujah. And he'd be one that'd be, you'd have to sit him down. Because he looked through a glass darkly. He could see certain things, but there's certain things he couldn't see. Same way with Wesley. Wesley's like, you mean y'all wear dresses all the time? You don't cut your hair? Oh, Gloria, you don't wear makeup? That'd be him. Because the Holy Ghost inside of him, it would quicken the word that he held, plus quicken the word now that he held. That's why me and you have to have fresh manna every service. Because your Holy Spirit feeds on that. Just like we feed, that's like we fed down there a few minutes ago. Your body needs food. So the church body needs food to sustain itself. If not, if you conquer the laity, then it makes it cold, formal, and powerless. That's what Brother Branham said. All right? Cold, formal, and powerless. And that's what we've seen in a lot of places. But so the message and the messenger are one. They come at a certain point of time, and then what God does is when he's finished with that messenger, he takes him home. It's not for me and you to go, well, why did he take Brother Brown? He did every... One more time. God perfect? Yes. All right. If he's got his hand in it, God's perfect, it's not ever going to be a mistake. So we must just lay it in his hands. I know there's a lot of people... See, a lot of people put... And I'll explain this a little bit later, but a lot of people's Holy Ghost was Brother Branham. And when God took him off the scene, their Holy Ghost left with them, left with him. And then they scattered off into this church and that church and this place and that place. If you put your confidence in a man, you see that a lot of times. You know, you see, not here, but you see preachers that the pastor dies or goes off somewhere in adultery or something. And the people just, well, he's everything. He was all I put my... I hope you never put your hope on me or anybody that preaches in this church. You put your hope in Jesus Christ. And if I tell you what Jesus said, you put your hope in that and you'll not fail. But you put it on a man, you will fail. Because the Bible says right here, if you don't do the right thing, I'm going to pull your candle. Listen, God can do that. He said, I'm going to pull your candlestick out. You know, when you pull a candlestick out, what happens? It pulls it away from the oil that's down inside, and what happens? Your fire goes out. All right? Amen? Plain, but not wasn't as plain as Bob. There was a lot of Band-Aids given out today. Big ones. Drag across the floor. I started to say when I come in this morning, I thought, now everybody reach down, pick your head up, put it back on your shoulders. Or Brother Claude Weisinger, he called me one time. He said, man, he said, I just know that y'all's head separated from me. I said, what? He said, I was watching your dad last Sunday, and he cut down on something. He said, I know y'all's head had to hit the floor and roll. He said, because mine did. But you do it with loving hands. Brother Dale always did it with loving hands. All right, so look, what happened? A seal is open. What's that? A mystery is unfolded. Because each age had a mystery. Luther had a mystery. The mystery was the just shall live by faith. The rest of the world said, no, put it on the Catholic Church. Let the Pope go do that for me. Let the priest go do that for me. All right? But the mystery of that is the just shall live by faith. Come out of that thing. Come out of her, my people. Same way with me and you, the same way. When you saw this message, a mystery unfolded that you had not previously seen in the other part of your life or at a church somewhere else, denomination or something like that. You saw something you'd never seen before. Amen. That's a mystery. Amen. All right? And why? Because of the message that you were taught. Right. You receive revelation and a mystery from what's taught. No. You don't get a revelation from a tree or a piece of wood. You get it from somebody preaching the message to you, and then something sparks inside. The Holy Ghost says, that ain't nothing but the truth. Let's go study that for a minute. To me, that's where you see a mystery unfold. See, a mystery is unfolded. When it unfolds, a trumpet sounds. So the mystery is going to unfold. Listen, the prophet's going to get it first. Paul, Irenaeus, I ain't talking about Brother Ram. He's part of it, but I'm talking about all. They get the message first. They get it fresh from God. And then they turn and they deliver it to the people. Well, listen, God's got so much confidence that when he tells that person, he knows that person's going to turn around and tell the truth. Right. Because God's perfect. Did I ever tell you on that? He picked those messengers. Brother Ram didn't pick them. He picked them. Brother Branham, just by revelation, got them out and saw the characteristics of each one and told us it was Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and Elijah. All right? But God picked them way before Brother Branham did. Because remember, he had those seven stars in his hand way back when. Now, a church age opens. So a trumpet sounds, it declares a war. Look at Luther. Oh, wow. He went against the whole world. Remember what he said? He said, they said, Luther said, the world is against you. He said, let it be known I'm against the world. Amen. The teaching of the Catholic Church was all over. It was like a cancer. And here he stood out and said, no, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And that was a war started. And the angel of the church catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed. In other words, Brother Branham didn't get all when he started. Progressive revelation. But when he does, he catches the mystery of God. Then he goes forth to the people. After the mystery's been given to him, goes forth to the people. What does he do out there? He begins to proclaim a message. What does it start? It starts a spiritual war. And when God takes his messenger with the elect of that age and lays them away asleep. Now, we're going to get into something in a little bit about lap over. Because remember, God doesn't. Now, he does take his messenger at a certain time. But remember, that message trickles on a little bit further. Because you can't just stop, Brother Branham. You can take every tape right now and throw them away. There's always going to be something somewhere out there, some MP3. Something's going to be out there. You can't just abruptly stop and say, well, Brother Branham, don't listen to him no more. So that's the same way with Paul. Paul had a message, and he died. He died in AD 60-something. Well, the age started in the 50s and went to 170. So it had to be the people catching the revelation, which God knew they would, and taking that revelation and preaching it on. But remember, there was a time where Brother Branham, he said, you need to tell them, you're not preaching what Paul preached. Is it time for us to say you're not preaching what Brother Branham preached? Sure it is. All the different doctrines we got in the church. But he puts them to sleep, drops a plague upon them who reject it, a temporary judgment. Then after that's over, he goes on. Look, they denominate. Bring in denominations and start off with that man's work like Wesley and all the rest of them. Gets all scrappled again. Then another mystery comes forth. When did Israel get a deliverer? When did Israel get Moses? Brother Branham said, when God heard the cry of the people, God sent a Moses. So we've got to cry out. Each age cried out and says, oh, we need that. But we need something fresh. You and I have come to this part where we need to know what we're knowing now. Not plus, not somebody else, not we go past the prophet. No, we got to start understanding what he's already said. Praise the Lord. I agree with that. Then another mystery comes forth. What happens? Another messenger arrives on the earth for a church age. In other words, starts back up again. In other words, he shouts the trumpet. He declares a war. Then what happens? Finally, he's called away. And when he's laid away, the plague falls. Spiritual death hits the church. In other words, what? They all denominate. And she's gone, that group. Then he goes on to another. Now let's read this. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So we were talking about the bookends this morning. Excuse me. The Alpha Church is Ephesus. The Omega Church is Laodicea. It's the beginning and ending of the Gentile bride dispensation. All right? And what God had at the first, he's going to have the same thing at the end. All right? Everybody with me on that? So the pattern is, we're going to see the pattern, and we saw it some this morning. You're going to see the pattern. It holds through all the way till the end. All right? He was all the letters, but specifically, he was Alpha and Omega. He had a rainbow over his head, which was the covenant. Now look, the line of Pentecost, where it started, gradually smothered out. These men, Irenaeus, Polycarp, and all the rest of them, sealed their testimony with their blood until it finally squeezed Christianity into the darkest of days, which was the Dark Ages. All right? But everything started. I want to get back over here. All right, let's just right here, because I didn't read it this morning. I did this, but let me continue on with this masterpiece. Bless you. Every one of these churches coming down through here, he revealed himself in deity only in his glorified form. Is everybody with me on that? You're with this morning. Paul had a complete, clear understanding of one God. Paul, Peter had a complete understanding. John had a complete understanding of one true and living God. All right, now it got, as Brother Brown said, scrappled down through the ages. Well, what had to come out on this side was the supreme deity back again. Right. That Jesus was God. Right. Not a second person, not a third person, but he was God Almighty. But during the church ages, they knew he was deity. Listen. But they had him as a second person. Because of what? Not God, because of man's ideas. All right? They had conquered so much to where they said, oh, just whatever the Pope says. You know, you take somebody. I want to ask you a question. I know Sister Anna was a Catholic. Is anybody else a Catholic in here before? Brother Luis. You take some of the things that they force on the people. Yeah. It's ludicrous. Yeah. It's downright funny. Right. It's not, but it is. That Mary took a rapture. I mean, Mary, you know, Mary, she's not buried. She resurrected and she went up and she's the mother of God. And then this one over here, patron saint of something or another, something happened, and if you'll pray to that guy, he'll get you across the river or something, you know. You understand what I mean? It sounds silly to us, but hey, I mean, who in the world is going to pray and go, 12 beads, pray again, 12 beads, pray again. Oh, it broke. I need to go buy another one. So go to the Catholic Church, buy you another one. You see how funny that sounds? But it's not. That was so much formed in those people's mind till they believed it, and they'll kill you for it. They'll kill you for it. Why can't we be fervent about the truth that way? All right? If they can do that and pray to this saint and pray to that saint and anyway, they have a place. Listen, they got a place. They're the old mother whore. So that's what the Bible says. So now look in the masterpiece. I didn't put this in. I put this in this afternoon. It'll never be it. At the harvest time, look, the seed is back to its original condition. So where's the planting? Planted on Day of Pentecost, first church age. Where's the harvest at? Over here in the end time. In other words, it goes back, the seed that is back to its original condition and must have all the word in order to be the seed. Now, you can't have half a seed. It won't grow. Amen. All right? I believe in speaking in tongues. That's just part of the seed, uh-huh? But now there is added to that. Hallelujah. The life, not the gifts. The life of the gifts. See what I mean? We're at the end time, brother. Stalk, tassel, husk is dead and dry now. In other words, if you planted a stalk of corn before it's really robust and green and you put a lot of nitrogen on it, man, you squeeze it and the water just runs out of it and it makes this big old ear of corn, and that ear of corn is, when it's ripe to eat, when we eat it, it's just so juicy. But the stalk's dead as a hammer. There's no life there anymore. It dries up. Then all the everything else start drying up. What happens is, bless you, there's something going on here. But that seed's got to be what? That seed's got to put in the sun to ripen, dry out, and then you can plant that seed and start just like the original. Everybody with me? All right? So stalk, tassel, husk is dead and dry now. That's why we can't go back to 1906 Pentecost. We go to the Pentecostal blessing, but you can't go backwards. How in the world these people that leave the message go backwards? That's right. They never had the forward. There's only one thing that has to happen to that. That's to be gathered in the World Council of Churches for its burning. The word has become flesh, exactly like it promised in Luke 17, Malachi 4, and all that's right. See, Revelations. All true life that was in the stalk, tassel, and husk. Now listen, when that thing was growing and it was a stalk, it had life. Yeah. Right. It was real. It was a part of the corn. Right. But God moved out of that life to put all the strength. That's why you prune something. Everybody with me? That's why you prune around the suckers. Because what happens is that life's coming up through the root, and if it has to go out here to a sucker, which is just something that's there, a limb, wasted energy. Yes. Cut that thing off. Everybody with me? Are you thinking spiritual now, or are we an apple tree in an apple orchard? Anyway, so the life comes up, and then it's got a shoot that runs out this way. Cut the thing off. Prune it, because what happens is that plant's whole entire existence is to reproduce itself again. Right. dying is for them to reproduce themselves again. And to reproduce yourself again, you got to go back to seed. And for us to reproduce, we got to go back to seed. Amen. All right? Amen. Everybody with me on that? Amen. True life that was in the stalk, tassel, and husk is now gathering in the seed. That's where you. That's why you really put the nitrogen to that corn when it starts making that ear, because you know you want all that energy to make a big, full ear of corn. Because that plant's existence is to get in and make that corn seed. Everybody with me? Same thing with the Word of God. Like I said this morning, God's going to have a bride. He's going to have an end time bride. It's going to take a body change. I don't care. We can sit and say, no, 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 the sun ain't coming up. No, 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 the sun ain't coming up. If you'll open your eyes about 6:30 in the morning, you'll see the sun come up. All right. Ready for the resurrection, ready for the harvest. The Alpha has become Omega. Amen. The first come last, and the last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process and become seed again. The seed that fell in the Garden of Eden and died there come back. Wow, he went way back, didn't he? From that imperfect seed that died there come back to the perfect seed, the second Adam. All right, first Eve fell, we know that. But look, the Alpha and Omega is the same. We become the same. All right, the first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the last message is the same. That's why I read you that quote the other day where Brother Branham stood down across the curtain of time and he said, did Paul make it? The angel said, yeah, Paul made it. He said, well, I bless God, I know I will. He said, I preached the same thing he preached. And all the millions of people said, we are resting on that right there. There'll be a day that won't be called day or night, but in the evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega is become the first and the last, a masterpiece. We talked about the vision where Brother Brown said the church came into view once, the bride comes into view twice. All right? Yeah. Everybody understand that? If you don't remember the vision, go back and read it. Amen. All right? That's the reason she was in view the second time. She was reviewed the first time, then the second time. And she was perfectly the same the second time like she was the first time. Let's skip through so it won't be so late. But the bride came back because she was Alpha and Omega. God the great sculptor has made him a masterpiece, for it's a piece of his first masterpiece, like he made in the Garden of Eden and took a piece from and made another piece that was marred and fell. Now he's been all this time building up it up again, and he brought forth this masterpiece and was smitten in order. That part that was smitten was in order to bring back again. Now he's saying that. I'm saying this. This masterpiece is what the prophet of God came to get. So the masterpiece in the Son of God, the masterpiece in the bride, and it's a piece of him, which must be the fulfilling of the word. Because we're going to look in another church age, it even means the unfulfilled age. They were all unfulfilled. And until you accept the message of the hour and get all the doctrines correct and get our lives straight, like the first church age, we'll be the same way. Everybody with me? They didn't believe in three gods in the beginning of the church. You can't find that sort of belief amongst the apostles. It was after the apostolic age that this theory, not a doctrine, theory came in and really became an issue and a cardinal doctrine at the Nicene Council. The doctrine of the Godhead caused a two-way split at Nicaea. Everybody, we've been through that all. We know what happened. The true bride went to Nicaea to try to turn it around, and they left with their head down because this over here was so much stronger. But God had to allow that to happen. Because remember, the seed had to go in the ground. Right? To come back through Luther and come back through Wesley into today. Revelations 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. What'd he do? Give them the word test. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove your candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And here's what we got to this morning. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You say God hates? Yeah, God hates. God's got emotion, if y'all didn't know that or not. He's the very seed of emotion. Satan just twists his emotion and makes it something else. Everybody with me? Remember, Satan is not a creator. He can't create one thing. Not one thing. He is not the originator of nothing. Except chaos. So whatever he gets, he copies from God and makes it that close so that you can't tell the difference hardly. So we looked at the word deeds means an act or something done. Because in the first church age, it just became as like a saying. Or what's your opinion about, I can't be God. He cried. He can't be God. He got tired. He slept in a boat. He can't be God. Well, he's close enough to God, though. Let's make him something a little different, but the same. Yeah, yeah. And that's the way. Where do all doctrines come from? Talking to somebody else and then bringing it here. So Nicolaitanism or Nicolaitan means Nico, which is victory or conquer, which the word Nike comes from. Laitan, which is members or the laity. And somebody asked what somebody said, well, how can you conquer a whole church? You can conquer a whole church by being so forceful and so adamant about I'm the man. You just gotta do what I gotta do. You just do what I tell you. That just beats everybody down, and I've seen it before. It don't work. But when you put everything in place like it's supposed to be, did I ever preach that God didn't make a mistake? Oh, okay, so he didn't. If he set his church up first, right? He said Alpha Church is going to be right. Then he said Omega Church is going to be right. All right. They have been identical in those two that held the doctrine of Balaam. Now, remember what I told you, Balaam was a hireling prophet. They seem to have held that it was lawful to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, look, take that and put it in the message, or a message, or someone's message. Well, come to church as you are. We want everybody to come to church. Right? We do. And I agree with the statement, come as you are. But don't leave as you were. Or you just wasted your time. Right? Come as you are. That's fine. But what it is says, oh, well, that's okay. You can stay here. Don't worry about it. Well, I would lose people if I preached that. Remember what Brother Ram told me? Brother Ram said, I'd rather eat soda crackers. For those of you that don't know what that is, that's little bitty crackers about that big. And they used to call them soda crackers. Now they're what are they? Saltine crackers. Same. I'd rather drink branch water and eat that and preach on the side of a street corner than to compromise on the gospel. And I agree. Because if you don't, you become a hireling. And then you're just a hireling prophet, and you just do what somebody else says. They may have been identical in those who held the doctrine of Balaam. They seem to have held it to where it was lawful to eat things sacrificed to idols, to commit fornication in opposition to the decree of the church rendered in Acts 15. So in other words, they wanted to be a church. Yeah. Listen, Satan does not want to be in church. Right? He wants to be here, and he is. But he wants to just change it one little way. And that's all he needs to do to get you. Right. All of us. So it's the opposition to the decree of the church. Because remember, when a message goes forth, what does it cause? Why does it cause a war? Because there's opposing forces. And there's only two forces, Satan and God. That's the only two there is. There's nobody. Well, I just believe. No, you might be the devil. Okay? Only two sides, devil side, God side. There's no in between. All right? Pick a side. Choose you this day who you shall serve. If it be God, come over here. If it be Janice and, or whoever that other was, who was it? Corin Dathan. Corin Dathan. Choose them. Right. God stood there one day and said, I've had enough.
Right.
I've had enough. And Moses said, he said, if you're for me, stand right here. If you're for Dathan and Korah, go over there. And God said, I'm fixing to show you which side was right. He opened the ground up, literally opened the ground up and swallowed several hundred people and closed their back shut. What a mess that was. But that's God separating the good from the bad. Because he hates Nicolaitanism. He said he did. He hates all this. He hates somebody coming into church and trying to change everything. Amen. All right? When it's supposed to be set up the way it's supposed to be set up. All right? So to hate these deeds is a sign of life in a church that otherwise is weak and faithless. To tolerate them is well nigh to forfeit the glory of having been faithful under persecution. So let's continue on. The Alpha Church is born. Where was the Alpha Church born? It was born on the day of Pentecost. All right? But now the first church age didn't start on the day of Pentecost. There was a Pentecostal age. All right? Let me show you something right here real quick if I can get to it. You have your, you got your chart there. Let's see, Brother Anderson, if we can. Can you still see that a little bit? Come on. How about now? You in the back? No? Oh, hang on a minute. Oh. Blow it up a little. How about that? Can you see that? Kind of, sort of? That's the church age thing that I gave you a little while ago. When Brother Dale preached on the eight manifestations of God, and then I preached on the porter, this has been back, Lord, 20 years ago almost. Now, if Brother Kern would know, he knows exactly when. He listened to them old tapes. So if you got your Alpha Bride right here, right? You got your Omega Bride right here, right? They're bookends. They've got to be starting the same way. Amen. Are they different? Amen. So in AD 30, we'll get to it in a minute, but I just want to show you this now. In AD 30, there was a Pentecostal age that Paul was not involved in. AD 30, when Jesus died, resurrected, 50 days later on Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell and an age began, but it was the age of Pentecost. No messenger. Right. Peter was the spokesperson, not the messenger. Got it? Right. Then there was an age began in AD 53, who was Paul, who comes at the end of the Pentecostal age. That's going to be real clear and for when we get to right here. Now, I looked all over this church and asked all y'all. I couldn't find no whiteout. So, anybody know what whiteout is? Oh, the kids are going, what's that? Just mass erase. But right here should be Pentecost again, because between that age and this age, there was an age of Pentecost. 1906 Azusa Street. Brother Branham was not a part of that. He wasn't even born. It's 1906. He's born in 1909. He wasn't even born during this time that started. But there was a Pentecostal age right here. It was run by the Holy Ghost, just like what fell at this Pentecost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came himself on the day of Pentecost to birth and start the church. Not the church age. Start the bride. All right? Same way with here. That's going to happen here. We'll see it later on. There was a Pentecostal age. No messenger. Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost came himself to bring this message. And then what happened? Then Brother Branham just stepped out from that. Just like Paul, Paul stepped out from that Pentecostal age. Because remember, when Paul stepped out of that age, it was a little bit different than Brother Branham. Because when Brother Branham stepped out of that Pentecostal age, they were still Trinitarians. Because they were at the end. They needed to be turned back. But now the first one, when Paul stepped out, remember, when Paul came on the scene, Peter and them had already received the Holy Ghost like 20 years before he came on the scene. Right. Or 15 years, right? But here's Paul that was killing the Christians, not literally, but causing them to blaspheme and die. Everybody with me? He takes the scrolls with the Holy Ghost, goes into Arabia or in Egypt or wherever he went, and sat down, and God revealed all that to him because he was a church age messenger. Then he comes out and he steps into that first church age, and him and Peter's preaching the same thing. He didn't even know Peter, and he comes up to Peter and says, oh, we're preaching the same thing. But then you got to remember, when Paul gets a real revelation of that age, Peter says, he says things hard to understand. In other words, he's got a little more depth than I do. Okay, is everybody with me? So you see that happen on both ends. Pentecostal age began. Paul stepped out of that Pentecostal age and started a group of Ephesus. Brother Branham stepped out of the Pentecostal age of 1906 Azusa Street, and then it was 1947 when he started preaching what we know as the message of the hour. A little while later. But you'll also see that Brother Paul, he said in the Bible, he says, I was one born out of due season. In other words, I should have been born in that Pentecostal age, but I wasn't. There was an opportunity for Paul, Peter and them to bring the message, and then Paul just steps right in. Well, same way with Brother Branham in 1950, if you'll watch that movie that they have of him preaching in Washington, D.C., what did he tell the Pentecostal people? He said, I was one born out of due time. He said, I should have been born 1906 Azusa Street. No, not born. Born again during that time. Yeah. All right? Because listen, Peter was alive on the day of Pentecost. He was here. He was just persecuting the ones that received the Holy Ghost, not preaching the Holy Ghost. All right, so you see that? Because we've got overlaps in between, and we'll get into all that, and we'll see how that the messenger comes at the end of the age, and we'll see the manifestations of God. But just see one thing for sure. There was a Pentecostal age began here, then Paul stepped out, the messenger. There was a Pentecostal age here that Brother Brown stepped out and was the messenger. Everybody with me? All right. The Holy Ghost had to come back in power, restore the gifts, but they were still Trinitarian, so there were some things that Brother Branham had to preach to get them out of that. All right, everybody with me? All right? So the Alpha Church is born, and we know how it was born. It was born on the day of Pentecost. I don't have to go through this anymore. Now watch what, Brother, this is what I was going to talk about this morning, about the thrones. This is Jesus talking. I didn't just put that in red. That's what Jesus is saying. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, this is Jesus when he's getting ready to leave, and he's getting ready to come back on the day of Pentecost. He's going to, the Alpha Bride is going to be born, and it's going to be born right. All right? Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. So what is the Father? What is that promise? That they would receive the Holy Ghost. Right? Shake yourself. They send a promise of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you what? Somebody to help you. The Advocate. Somebody to lead you and guide you into all truth. Which is the Holy Ghost. Now look. Now this is Brother Branham Watts, 1955, Switzerland. Said, now his body with nail scars in it has not come back yet. It's sitting at the right hand of God. He's sitting on the Father's throne now. You with me? But when he comes back, he's going to sit on his own throne, the throne of David that he inherited. Now that's in what? The millennium. Amen. All right? That's when he comes in physical form. But he's here now in spiritual form, working through your body and my body, the Father's throne. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, watch. I want you to notice, I'm looking right down the fifth chapter. He says, fear not. Fear not. You don't want to get scared about anything. One of the elders said unto me, weep not. He's in Revelation 5. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And lo, behold, in the midst of the throne and four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Now watch what Brother Ram says. Now what are those four combat beasts? Lion, ox, man, and eagle. What is that a representation of? That's the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Everybody with me? Right. It's the Holy Ghost. So he's talking about the Holy Ghost. Right. A lamb. Why didn't he see the lamb before? The lamb had been seated on the Father's throne inside of the guards. The four combat beasts are, in other words, the Holy Ghost. John could not see in there. He only seen those four-headed or four beasts standing there, or those four cherubs standing there guarding the holy place. In the breach, Brother Ram said, look, where did it come from? It come from the Father's throne where he had been seated since he had been slain and raised again. He sat on the Father's throne, sent the Holy Ghost back. This has been the Father's throne the whole through the whole church ages, right? But now remember, Revelation 3:14 says we get to sit on his throne. Okay. All right, so we'll cover that later on. He raised up and sat on the right hand of God, ever living, to make intercession. How does he make intercession? By the Holy Ghost. That's what intercedes for you. It doesn't matter if I'm praying for brother Luis. It's the Holy Ghost interceding inside of me. And that's why you ask prayer for this one and that one, and you want to have prayer. You want the Holy Ghost to intercede for you. Okay? So the Father's throne, Jesus said, look, the Father's throne is now the kingdom that's in power now. Because Stephen, when Stephen was stoned, he looks up and he sees what? Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. In other words, on the throne. Remember, he says, don't lay this charge to anybody, because I'm going to read it in just a minute. There was somebody standing there that had some significance when Stephen got stoned. So what Stephen was making intercession, because he said, Father, don't lay this to nobody's charge. And Paul was standing there. Saul held the coats. I was watching a movie one time of Paul, and it was really what they'd done. They throwed Stephen out. Well, they come running out of they all had their robes on, come running out of the temple where they had condemned Stephen. Stephen preached him a message. He didn't leave nothing to be desired except that they were wrong. They had killed Jesus. So what happened is Saul is standing right here, a young boy standing right here, and as they run by him to get to where they can stone him good, you know, you can't fight with a coat on. So they take their cloak off, and he's standing there like this, and they're just laying their coats over him as they're running by to stone Stephen. So he was there when the first martyr took place. But he said, Father, don't lay this to their charge. And there stood Saul. John 17, I prayed for you. Jesus said, I prayed for you. I pray that you make it. I pray that we be one. I pray that you understand what I'm saying. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, we know what happened. A rushing mighty wind came, and it filled the house where they were sitting, as we were talking this morning. And they all spake in tongues, but when they went outside, it was that everybody was hearing them in their own language. What a revelation that was. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, because Pentecost was a feast day, and they all came from all over the country, all over the world, actually, from all these other places. So as we skip down through here, Pentecost means 50. We know that. So let's get through this real quick. Well, it's hot. Oh, here's what he says. Watch. This is what Peter says. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. So there's your answer. What is the Father's throne? It's the promise of the Holy Ghost. He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstools. You know how he's going to do that? He's going to do it to me and you. Heaven is my throne, and earth, where are we living today? Earth is my footstool. Amen. I'm going to do it on earth. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive what? The Father's throne. The gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and your children, to all them that are far off. Listen, he's sitting on a temporary place. Yeah, right. Let me get back to that. Because he wants to be sitting on his throne. Because that's where you and I are. Everybody with me? He's sitting on the Father's throne making intercession for us down here. But in Revelation 3:14, he said, I want them to sit with me in my throne. As I have also overcome and sat on my daddy's throne. So he's not on the correct throne he wants to be on. Because are we in heaven? No, the Father's throne now is right here. He's making intercession. He's not way over yonder somewhere. He's right here. But he wants to sit on his own throne and us be there with him. Amen. That's his whole, that's the whole part of him dying for. Yeah. Was to get us to sit where he's at. Amen. I like that. Yeah. For the promises to you and your children, them and the far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. And then, man, 3,000 people were saved at one time. What a water baptism. Now here's Peter real quick. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, like I said before, he wasn't the messenger. He was a spokesman. Because the Holy Ghost spoke himself through the people. There was no messenger to that age. All right? Peter was a spokesperson. Before the day of Pentecost, he was given the keys to the kingdom. We find that he opened it to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And he went down to Samaria and opened it to them. Came back to the house of Cornelius and opened it there. And he never had... had to do it no more. It was open to the world, see, like that, the Holy Spirit. But you remember, Philip went down and preached the Samaritans and baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Only the Holy Ghost had not fallen on any of them. So what did he do? He called for Peter. Peter had the key. So they sent up for him that had the keys, and he laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And we Gentiles, we're just heathens, Romans, Greeks, and so forth. We worship idols. We weren't looking for a Messiah. We had no time for a Messiah. We had our own gods, our forefathers, but the Jews were looking for a Messiah. So was the Samaritans, because they were half Jew and Gentile. Now watch. Now, I said this morning, Jesus will appear to those who are looking for him. If you're not looking for him, only those, that's all. He is not obligated to the unbeliever, but to the believer. Brother Dale told us many, many times, he said, God does not adopt the devil's kids. He adopts his own children. All right? It's your choice whether to be his child or not. But to the believer, he is obligated. He is obligated to raise the believer up in the last days only to the believer. Now, this is what happened in the book of Acts. This is during that Pentecostal time before Paul steps on the scene now. And we'll stop right there and we'll get to it when Paul steps on the scene. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They went to church. Breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 3 verse 4 says, Peter fast his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I'm talking about the characteristics that happened in the Pentecostal age. All right, everybody with me? All right. Acts 7, verse 57. I didn't bring this one, but I read it yesterday, where even they thought so much of those disciples, and they knew they had so much power, they would walk down the street, and the people would lay down in front of their shadow, and God would heal them. Wow. They were called Christians in Antioch because of why? They acted like Christ. Acts 7, verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran to him with one accord. Now, this is Stephen. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their cloth at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had done this, he did as all real believers, he fell asleep. Amen. He didn't die, he fell asleep. So let's review this just a little bit, and we'll be done. Age of Pentecost started AD 30, because that was when Jesus was crucified 50 days later, which he was died in AD 30. So the day of Pentecost, or their day of Pentecost, was close to that in AD 30. The messenger to that part of the of the age of Pentecost was the Holy Ghost. Peter was a spokesman, but Peter was not the prophet to the age. Everybody with me? All right? Acts 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were one accord in one place. There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They all were, not just one person. They all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Watch. Peter was the spokesperson and had the key to open the door to the Gentiles until Paul come on the scene. And he had so much grace that he just stepped away and he said, Paul says things really hard to be understood. I don't disagree with him, but I just sometimes can't understand what he's saying. All right? And then this is there it is. I was looking for it. There it is right there. Same thing. Day of Pentecost, there was a Pentecostal age, and then the age of Ephesus began. Then the same thing over here in Laodicea. We'll see that later on. I want you to read this right. If you can see this right here, it says, the messenger to the age. This kind of sums up all that I read you in the first seal. So the messenger to the age does what? Condemns the world. The messenger steps on the scene, he immediately condemns the world. Because what's he doing there? He's condemning the ones that turned away from back here. All right? Then what is he doing? He rebukes the previous age for getting away from Luther's message, Wesley's message, whatever you want to say. And then he brings his message. Then, as we said before, there's a war begins, a spiritual war. Here's what Paul Peter said. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles. Hey! Peter read Paul's writings. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or wrestle, as they do also with other scriptures unto their own destruction. Amen. Acts 13, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, this is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, who's he talking to? He's talking to the Jews. Because Paul's a Jew. He can speak to the Jews because he's a Jewish. All right? But he says, I've told you all this. I've spoken to you. Seeing you put it from us, in other words, seeing you stone me and Barnabas, you put us in jail. Hey, listen, who was the worst persecutor of Paul? The Jews. Judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn. This is in Acts 13. This is where we're going to stop right here. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad that God had turned the message that was supposed to be for the Jews. He turned it over to a bunch of stinking Gentiles. And he took a bride out of that. He said, that's the wife I want to live with. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Look, and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as it were ordained to eternal life, believed. Romans 11, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. God literally blinded Israel's eyes. Because he had to put them away. Because what'd they do? They went to idols. They went whoring. So he put them away, and he blinded them. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of. Now watch, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That didn't happen in the first church age. Right. Fullness happens in our age. Amen. He was telling them there's going to be ages and ages, but until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, I'm going to blind Israel. Because remember, when we leave out of here, God's going to lift that blind off. Right? God's going to lift that blind off, and they're going to go, we've been looking for a Messiah. And you two witnesses are telling us he's already come 2,000 years ago? And he said, yeah. Then they receive the Holy Ghost. Or they kill him, one of the two. Amen. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. Now see, he's still got a covenant with Israel. He'll never forget them. He'll always have Israel there. There's going to be 144,000. There's going to be all kind of things set up that's still in a Jewish kingdom. As concerning the gospel, now watch. As concerning the gospel, now this is what Paul's preaching. The gospel is not the Ten Commandments to them. Everybody with me? Now watch what he's saying. As concerning the gospel, in other words, what I have preached to you, you've turned it down. You've become my enemy. They are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. In other words, they're going to hear, the elect is going to hear, and they're going to accept it. You're going to turn me down and make me an enemy. Has whoever said that today about if I become your enemy? Paul, Bob did. If I become your enemy because I told you the truth? People get way more mad at you for telling the truth than they will a good old fat juicy lie. Because you manipulate a good old fat juicy lie and make it sound good. But the truth? Nope, it's just the truth. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye are in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their, the Jews, unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. What's Paul saying? Look, they didn't believe over here. We're the believers now. But since we're the believers now, we're going to take what we have, the mercy that we have, and give it to them. Amen. This same message is going to the Jews. Same message. To show Jesus Christ in a group of people. Not that a Messiah's coming. Not that they need a temple. Not that they need a red heifer. Not that they need any of that. He's already come and they didn't know it. Right. They say, where did you get those scars? I believe in Jeremiah or somewhere like that. He says, in the house of my friends. What? 2,000 years ago when they put him on the cross. Amen. Israel was one that said, let his blood be on us and our children, not the Gentiles. The Jews did. Right? Amen. So now let's look at the Alpha Age just real quick. Let's musicians get ready to come on. The Ephesian church age then started A.D. 53. Paul founded the church at Ephesus about the middle of the first century. This enables us to set the date of the beginning of the Ephesian church age about A.D. 53. And you'll see we got it back up there. But remember, the age of Pentecost, A.D. 30 to A.D. 53. All right. Then a messenger comes on the scene. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write all these things. Now watch this real quick. Musicians, come on. The key given to me of the Lord, whereby I was able to determine, this is out of Brother Brown talking, determine the messenger for each age is most scriptural one. In fact, it might be called the keystone of the Bible. It is the revelation that God never changes. Have I not said that before? Amen. God don't change. It is the revelation that God never changes and that his ways are as unchangeable as he is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever in Ecclesiastes. Here it is. An unchanging God with unchanging ways. What he did at the first, he will have to keep on doing until it is done for the last time. There will never be a change. Apply that to the church ages. The kind of man that God chose for the first age and how God manifested in that man's ministry would be the example for all other ages. What God did in the first church age is what he wants to do in all other ages. Okay, said he wanted to do it. Now we know exactly from the word which was recorded by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, how the first or original church was founded. We've been talking about that. And how God manifested himself in her, bride. The word can't change or be changed because the word is God. Now look, here's some bullet points real quick. Let's stand. Get done a little bit early. Thus, what the church was at Pentecost is the standard. That is the pattern. There's no other pattern. No matter what the scholars say, God has not changed his pattern. What God did at Pentecost, he has to keep on doing until the church age closes. Like I said, there was an age there. There's an age here. All right. That original church was not organized by men. It was led by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't very big. It was hated and despised. It was oppressed. It was persecuted unto death. But it was true to God. It stayed with the original word pattern. Now, don't get led astray here. When I said that God and his ways never change, I did not say that the church and its messengers could not change. Ah, there's where it happens. The church isn't God, so she can change. But what I said was that because of the unchanging God with unchanging ways, we can go back to the beginning and see the first and perfect act of God and then judge by that standard. That is how it's done. The true church will always try to look like the original at Pentecost. The true church of today will try to approximate that every first one. And the messenger to the churches, having the same Spirit of God in them, will try to approximate the Apostle Paul. They won't be exactly like him, but the true messengers will be the ones that come the closest to Paul, who was free of all men, sold out to God, gave forth the Word of God only, and manifested the Holy Ghost in power. None else would do. You have to work from the original. As light begets light, the true church will always be the one that tries to follow in the steps of her founders at Pentecost, and her messenger will follow the Apostle Paul, the first messenger to the first church age. It is that simple and that wonderful. And who was a messenger? It was Paul. We'll talk about that the next time we preach. But whatever that is, read a book of Acts. Whatever happens in the book of Acts has got to happen today. That was your first church age. Started in the book of Acts. Didn't start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Started in the book of Acts. That's when the New Testament started, after Jesus died. Right. Then you look all the way over here, and you can't change your pattern. That's why Brother Bram couldn't say, well, now Paul, now he's just a woman hater. No, he said Paul was right in what he said.
Amen. Yes.
That's what I put my confidence in. If Paul wrote 80% of the New Testament, right? He wrote 80% of the New Testament, right? His writings. Ought to be a pretty good guy to follow. And if Brother Branham mirrored it and preached the same thing, plus brought us to the seals, I ought to be able to go with this guy. Okay? The Holy Ghost in me ought to agree with the Holy Ghost of that person right there, right? Pretty simple. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
Sing it to him.
Oh, you healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me.
You healed my body when I was sick.
You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Lord, Lord, Lord.
Oh,
oh Lord, Lord, Lord. You surely been good to me.
When everything starts falling apart, just start singing
Lord,
that song.
Lord, Lord, Lord. You surely been good to me. Lord, Lord, Lord. You surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on.
We have heard that going in the mulberry tree.
I can hear the rustling in the mulberry tree. And I know.
The move is on. Sing it to him.
Oh, so move on, brother. Move on, sister.
Keep moving.
Move a little closer.
my Lord, the move is on. You believe that? The move is on,
my Lord, the move is on.
I can hear the rose ring in the mulberry tree. And I know, the move is on.
Streams are flowing.
We sure appreciate you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Brother Aaron will be speaking for us later tonight. You're dismissed.
The move is on, my Lord. The move is on.
The move.